And away we go, hour number three of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You look at the lay of the land in the NBA right now. Knicks come from behind again. Back-to-back games down 20 in Boston. No problem. New York up 2-0. How do you like Mikal Bridges just really being worth those picks now as the series starts to move back to New York for what's going to be a zoo on Saturday inside the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden? A lot of questions now with the Boston Celtics, Joe Mazzulla, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. What the heck is going on? How can you be up 20 points not once but twice on your home court and not win one of those games? The Oklahoma City Thunder, by the way, they were up by a good margin in game one up against the Nuggets, and then Nikola Jokic happened, who is the best player in the league, and it ain't even close. And then towards the end of the game, Oklahoma City finally showed their inexperience early on in this NBA postseason, as Chet Holmgren missed not one but two free throws, Aaron Gordon the other way, Russell Westbrook dribbling, finds Gordon in the corner for three, bang, and the Oklahoma City Thunder found themselves in an 0-1 deficit. Well, unlike the Boston Celtics, the Oklahoma City Thunder not only got out to a strong start, but they put the foot on the throat so early and basically told Denver, hey, at halftime, pick yourself up off the ground. Don't even show up for the second half because this game is over, and go back to Denver and get well rested for a game three because we'll see you there. As Oklahoma City won 149-106. Wowzers. Then you look at the other two series coming up tonight in the association. You will have the Minnesota Timberwolves going up against the Golden State Warriors. You will not have Steph Curry tonight. Steph Curry should be out about a week, maybe a little less, maybe a little more. We don't know. And then when he does come back, how healthy he's going to be. Because remember last year, OG Anunoby for the Knicks had a hamstring injury. Missed some time, then came back for a game seven. And he was walking around, and you could tell that it was, you know, an admirable effort to get on the court. But with that being said, you knew that OG Anunoby had nothing, had no burst, no acceleration, and he was basically a non-factor in that game seven where the Pacers did a good job putting the Knicks away. So you take a glance at Steph Curry with this injury. The Warriors are up 1-0. You know he's out for game two. No one thinks he's coming back for three or four. Game five would be on Wednesday. So is there a way where Steph Curry can get back in this series while the Warriors still have a chance? And when I look at this right now, I think there is a road. And it's kind of crazy because, Stu, the NBA postseason is so dragged out and it's so spread out to begin with. I'm sitting there and I'm like, are we getting games 2, 3, 4, and 5 all by Wednesday? But that's the case here because you got game two tonight on Thursday. Game three Saturday, game four is Monday, and then game five is Wednesday. So I think at this rate, if you're a Golden State Warriors fan, you're already up 1-0. Even if it means Steph is going to miss the next four, you just got to say, okay, win one. Now, if he could get back for game five, and you tell me he's only missing three, if you just win one of those games, then it's 2-2, and you get Steph Curry back, and it becomes the best of three. Now, the only other series that we have not mentioned was the Pacers and the Cavs. That series is at 2-0 as well, where the road team got both of the games on the road in Cleveland. Cleveland, you have no clue who's going to be able to play for them. And that series, it does feel over. Like, the Knicks and the Celtics, I do think the Knicks are going to win the series, but I'm not ready to say that series is definitely over. When I look at the Cavs and the Pacers, you have three injuries that the Cavs are dealing with to three good players, and also you're going back to Indiana, and the Cavs, even though they've been one of the better teams in the NBA this year and the best team in the East this year, the Cavs don't have a championship pedigree. So there's no fear like how people still fear Boston coming on back because they won a championship last year. That fear of Cleveland is non-existent. Quite frankly, I wasn't one of these people. But there were people throughout the regular season that were like, all right, the Cavs, 60 wins, you know, Cavs, all right. Number one seed in the East. But really, does it even matter? Like, are they going? Did people really believe that they were going to the championship when the postseason started? Were they going to the NBA Finals? No, most people didn't. So in this case, you look at the four matchups that we're currently in and the four series that we're currently in. Stu, if you had to re-predict with what we saw right now, Cavs-Pacers, do you feel like that's over and the Pacers go to the conference finals?
I do. I think that's going to be over pretty quickly, like five games.
Knicks-Celtics, where are you at with the New York Knicks being up 2-0 in this series?
I think it's a toss-up. I think it's going seven, and we'll see what happens in seven.
If it does get to seven, are you picking the Celtics?
If it does get to seven, I mean, they've not been good at home. I don't know. I think the Knicks could win a game seven on the road.
All right. So right now, if you have to pick.
I'd say the Knicks.
Okay. So you'd have Knicks and Indiana in the conference finals.
It's like it's the late 90s again.
Oh, my God. It's crazy. In the Western Conference, you take a glance right now with what you've seen. Thunder and Nuggets, 1-1. Game one, Denver stole it. Game two, the Thunder just stomped Denver out. What would you say there?
I think the Thunder are going to win in six.
I think the Thunder are going to win that series as well. Timberwolves and Warriors. Warriors are up 1-0, but now there's a lot of uncertainty with one Steph Curry and his health.
I think the Timberwolves are going to win.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Pacers and Knicks, we're seeing it. I don't think it's going seven. I don't. I think this is going. I think this is Knicks and six. I do. I think the Knicks split Saturday, Monday. Then you have game five on Wednesday. I do think that Wednesday you get a Celtics victory. And then game six, I think the New York Knicks take it on home on their home court of Madison Square Garden. In the West, I think the Thunder are the best team in the league. I think the only reason why people get a little hesitant with the Thunder is just because they haven't done it yet. But I think the Thunder not only beat the Nuggets, I do think the Thunder will beat either the Warriors or the Timberwolves. And I think the Thunder are going to the NBA Finals. But right now, I would take the Timberwolves. And the reason I take the Timberwolves is just, A, you don't only know what you don't like, not only know when Steph is going to come back, when he does come back, how effective is he going to be with this hamstring injury? So I think we're on a collision course where it's Thunder and Timberwolves, and it's the Knicks and the Pacers, just like how we all predicted before the NBA postseason started, right? Right, Stu? That's how everyone thought it was going to happen. Who would you say goes to finals now? I'm going to say it's going to be Thunder, Knicks. Well, you get the Isaiah Hardenstein storyline.
Oh, revenge,
there.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the Thunder are going to be your NBA champion this year.
I would say Thunder over Knicks in five.
Ooh, okay.
I think it's a bad matchup for the Knicks.
You got to be careful walking the streets of New York, my friend. You know, saying in five. I can't really disagree with you, but, man, you got to be careful. A lot of people in the streets in New York.
Just building alone.
I saw Hickey tweet out, like, you better wear a helmet walking around New York. This is dumb.
I saw that, yeah.
Because these Knicks fans are going to be going crazy. Wear a helmet walking around New York City any day of the week. Like, the things that you see walking around this city, I don't think have any impact if the Knicks are good or not, if I'm being fair here, in terms of where I'm fearing walking around the city with the helmet on my cabeza. But it has been fun being here in New York with this run. The tickets are crazy. I just read an article, it's Super Bowl pricing to get into the building at Madison Square Garden. Now, I don't think I'm going Saturday. There's an outside chance I'm going Monday. I actually thought going Wednesday to Boston, doing the show at EEI, and then afterwards going to the game in Boston on like a press pass or something. Now, I'm not doing that because I looked, and I've done this drive from New York to Boston many times. But getting to TD Garden is a mess, and I'd be leaving our show, right? We get off the air at 6, and the traffic is unbearable in Boston. Like sometimes, like, to go 3 miles in Boston will take you, like, an hour. Stupid. So I then saw the projected travel time, right, from the city here in New York to Boston, 5 hours to get to TD Garden. It seems like a lot. And then I go, okay, you get out at 6. Let's say the game starts at 7:30. Yeah, I would get there, but I'd be so antsy. in terms of just nervous and the traffic, and I'd be like cursing on the road and road rage. So I told our bosses here, David Marinick, I'm good. I'm not taking the trip up to Boston. So I'm trying to get in the building, I think, on Monday. Saturday, you want to know what I'm doing Saturday? But you're more than welcome to come if you would like, Stu. Or Santa. Saturday, I'm going to Mason Jar in the city during the day with Carlos with a K. Carlos with the K and I told him a month ago, because I have a 20-game plan for the Metsies this year, that, and my buddy can't go, that I split the tickets with for the Cubs game Saturday night. I told Carlos with a K I'd take him to the Cubs game, Cubs-Mets game, because he's a huge Cubs fan. And by the way, trash-talking regular season baseball is just so lame. Carlos with the K, I woke up from a text from him this morning, with a text from him, and he's like, the Mets have no chance this week. He goes, the Pope is also a Cubs fan. Let's bleep and go. You guys are getting swept, in all caps, this weekend. It's like, pipe down. All right, Buttercup, pipe down a little bit. It's regular season baseball. It's May right now. Right, we're not in August. We're not in September. It's not October. I'm not doing trash talk like this is Giants, Eagles or something like that, or Bears, Packers or something like that. It's a regular season. It's a regular season baseball game in May. So Carlos with a K and I are going to watch the Knicks game at Mason Jar, and then we're going to take, I think we have to get on the 6 to then transfer at the for the 7 line, and we're going to subway. We're hard hat guys. No Uber, no Long Island Railroad, even though I prefer to take the Long Island Railroad, if I'm being honest. But just because we wanted to go to Mason Jar, it's easier to take the 7 line. We're going to 7 line to the baseball game, 7:15 first pitch. So the Knicks start at 3:30. I told Carlos, if the Knicks game runs late, we're going to be late to the Mets-Cubs game. It's a regular season baseball game. But 3:30, it should be over by 6:15, right? At the absolute latest.
Yeah, unless it goes overtime, yeah. 6:15, 6:20.
And it takes us an hour to get to the stadium. Now, here's my fear. I got to work on Sunday. I'm hosting on the Fan in New York City from 12 to 3:25, I think, Eastern. Carlos with the K, if he's expecting me to just be drinking this entire day, that's like, I will have a beer or two at Mason Jar, maybe a beer at the game, and that's it. Like, I'm not looking to have more than 3 beers because I was just in Las Vegas. And I'll tell you, I thought I was getting better. Like yesterday, I felt okay. Monday, I felt dead. Tuesday, I felt dead. Wednesday, I started to feel like my body was getting out of the casket. I feel horrible today. Like, I have reached a point in my life now where I'm not an old man. I'm not a grandpa. I'm only 30 years old. But I go on a trip like Vegas, and I do Vegas right. I'm in a lot of pain still. And I thought it was going to take me a few days to recover. We're now sitting here where it's day number 4 of recovery, and it's not getting any better. So I'm hurting. And I have to go out tomorrow night. Like, I'm not getting bleep faced, as the kids would say, or sloshed. But after having to have a few drinks on Friday, Carlos with a K, don't have high expectations on Saturday. And that rat, by the way, Carlos with a K, yeah. Stu, he's a rat.
Oh, why is he a rat?
He lost the bet to me.
I was going
to
ask, is this the bet payoff?
No. So he, to his credit, he has asked me like twice to go get dinner with him. He owes me dinner. The 2 times he's asked me, I've legitimately been busy. I've had plans. So he wanted to give me like an authentic Puerto Rican dinner, I think it was, is what we agreed to. So I said, if you want to just pay off your bet and pick up the tab for lunch, fine by me. I'm not going to be all upset. He's like, nope. Authentic Puerto Rican dinner. That's what you're getting. So now not only do I have to hang out with Carlos with a K on Saturday, I'm then going to want to cash in on my bet. And also, I'm going to have to see Carlos with a K because DA, right, David Amendolar, who used to work here, he invited me to their Bob's Bar show in early June, and Carlos told me he's going to that. So there's a lot of Carlos with a K time with your boy Zach Gelb. And I went to a Mets game, Mets Cubs game last year with Carlos with a K. And like, he almost got into a fight. Cause he was talking smack
yes.
to the Mets fans. Like, he thought he was an umpire at the game. He's doing, like, the strike three call. He's like, right in there, strike three, yeah! So, Carlos with a K, he's got to just tone it down a drop. Just a drop. That's me telling him to tone it down just a drop. So, it should be an eventful Saturday with Carlos with a K. I like Carlos, though. He's fun, even though I just called him a rat. But he does owe me money. All right, or dinner. Because he was stupid being a big, dumb Giants homer that he is, saying, oh, Saquon Barkley would only... I was imitating like Hickey and Marash there for a second. But anyway, he was like, oh, yeah, Saquon Barkley is not going to play more than seven games. Seven games. The easy. I won that bet. It wasn't even Thanksgiving yet. And I already won that bet.
I'm going to have to wait to Thanksgiving to get this bet paid off.
Yeah, Thanksgiving in 4 years. Seriously. Oh, my God. All right. Quinnen Lake from the Rams going to join us on the other side. It is Zach Gelb Show right here on Infinity Sports Network. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll spend a few minutes right now talking about the LA Rams, a team that I have high expectations for once again. When the football season does roll around come September, Quinnen Lake is a phenomenal defensive back for the LA Rams, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Quinnen, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. How you been?
I have been fantastic. The weather's great in Southern California, so I can't complain about that, but... other than that, you know, I'm feeling great. Team looks good. Body feels great. So a lot of blessings in my life.
And I saw the other day you guys are having mandatory mini camp in Maui. That's a pretty good deal for you guys.
The Rams do it kind of differently. They've really expanded their brand out to, you know, all these international places. And luckily enough, you know, we kind of have a little bit of in common with, you know, Hawaii. Obviously, they had an unfortunate situation not too long ago with the fires. And obviously, Los Angeles was... you know, decimated by fires as well. So for us, it's amazing to go out there, kick our feet up, enjoy that Hawaii weather, but also, you know, get to show our support to the island of Maui, do a couple kids camps, be in the community, and just show that, you know, the Rams community and the Rams organization has their back.
You know, I know a lot of times, right, you forget that football players, we forget that football players are humans and have to deal with regular stuff and tragedies like we have to. How do you just look back at the horrible situation that occurred out there with the wildfires as you guys were going through a season?
Yeah, it's tough because funny story, like there's another fire that pops up the middle of practice. Obviously that whole week we knew like, you know, the Palisades fire were going on. But there was another fire not too far away, and we looked up and we saw it. And Coach McVay did a great job because a lot of players lived over in that area. So you just never know, like, was it going to affect them or was it not? And so he huddled us up and said, hey, you know, if you guys have to go rush home, depending on, you know, where you live and all that stuff, make sure you guys go handle your business, get your family safe. But it was very distracting. But at the end of the day, we knew, hey, we have our team. We have everybody that we need. And we ended up, you know, one of my teammates, Tyler Higbee, he said it looked like Noah's Ark when we were traveling. We took two big planes over to Arizona. You know, luckily enough, the Cardinals were, you know, gave us the opportunity to use their facility. But yeah, man, it was crazy. I've been around fires being out here for my whole life. You know, 2018, 2019, there were also some fires, but this was something different, especially being in the NFL and how the whole situation was. It wasn't easy, but, you know, we handled it well. So, it was good.
How do you look back, Quinnen Lake, at last season? You guys made it to the second round. I was there at that game in the snow up against Philadelphia. You're right there at the end. Yeah. It's not crazy to say that if you guys won that game, maybe you guys end up going to a Super Bowl a week later and you win that NFC Championship game. But when you look back at this past season, what are the things that really stand out to you?
You know, Coach has talked about it over the last couple of weeks. We're built for it. You know, you look at the last two seasons, we were – minus three games going into the bye. And then we end up coming out, you know, really, really strong, you know, after that bye week. So we know how to overcome adversity. You know, last season, there were a lot of ups and downs, injuries, things didn't go our way, some games that, you know, we wish we would have had back. But you look at kind of our run, the last, I would say like seven or eight games. I mean, it was phenomenal football. The thing that really was, I'm not gonna say disappointing, but you're so close, you know. You win the game against Philadelphia. You play at home at SoFi Stadium, especially after what LA had dealt with, you know. That is like we that's why it was the magnitude was so much. And that's why like it really hit home for me and really hit home for a lot of the players, because it's like we all in our mind, if we beat Philly, we were going to the Super Bowl. Like, I'm not going to say we look past the Commanders, but we were like, man, if we win coming home and playing that game, the stakes were so high and we were so ready. Unfortunately, it didn't go our way. We were 14 yards away from, you know, playing the NFC Championship, but that season was one of the most memorable seasons. I know if you ask anybody else, they'll say the same thing, but you know, we got a good team this year, so I'm expecting big things as well.
Bad weather is a part of football. It happens. Sometimes people use it as an excuse. Do you feel like the weather did impact that game?
For sure. For sure. I almost had an interception. I couldn't see the ball. It speared me in the head. So yeah, you know, the elements play a factor. They do. Not that, you know, people say like, oh, you know, if we played on turf or we played in good weather, like the Eagles would have whipped our ass. Like, you never know. You could say whatever, but like it was snowing. It is what it is. Both teams have to deal with it. And it's really at that point, it's who can manage the elements better. You know, we didn't come out with it, but you know, the elements, that snow, that was my first time in snow too. First time snow game.
Oh,
It was
really?
awesome. Yeah, it was awesome. So, you know, that's what you live for, football. You know, that's why I'm glad like a lot of the teams that are in the, you know, the Northeast, they don't have indoor stadiums, because you really get that real football grit and grime, you know, mud in your helmet, snow in your shoes and all that stuff. It was awesome. That would be, you know, one of my top games ever.
Obviously, there was disappointment, but with how close you guys were and the
Yeah.
team that you guys knew you had, like, what do you remember from the plane ride back, coming back from Philly?
Oh, it wasn't as bad as the year prior, I'll tell you that. So the year prior in Detroit, we were on the tarmac for 6 hours. We were on the tarmac for 6 hours because our plane, the tubes that needed to refill the plane, they were frozen over.
Oh, that's right.
So we were sitting there. But in terms of the Philadelphia game, man, like everybody talks about like this what if factor. Like, what if, you know, what if this, what if that, what if this play happened or this play happened, or you know, certain things in a game just went our way. So that's like, you talk about that all the time, you know, when you go through losses as an NFL player. There's this big like, what if this, what if that, and that's usually what happens within like the first hour, an hour and a half, and then after that, you just kind of shut it off. I mean, you guys are laughing and giggling, kind of understanding like, man, we had a great season despite the loss. It was a great season, you know. Did we come up short? Yes, but you look at from where we came from, like no one even thought we were going to get to the point we were. So there was a lot of positive in the negative. But yeah, once you get through that past first kind of like 2 hours, everything's kind of lighthearted.
Quinton Lake here with us from the Rams. You know, last year I picked you guys to win the Super Bowl before the start of the season. And I looked at the defense and I was a big fan of Verse. I was a big fan of Fisk before the season started. But there was always this thought of me, how long was it going to take for this team to really learn how to play without Aaron Donald? Just how
Yeah.
great he was for so long. Like, the defense was really good last year. Do you feel like you guys could get better? And it will be easier now this year because now you've already dealt a full year with the great Aaron Donald no longer on your team.
Yeah, I have no doubt that we're going to be better. Chris Shula, our defensive coordinator, does a great job of highlighting player strengths. And we kind of had to find our identity a little bit throughout the season last year. But I will say this, they're like being a rookie, having success as a rookie, fantastic. But it's almost like when you make the jump from year one to year two, your game can really, really take off. So the young front that we have, and I would just say overall, the young defense that we have, like to build the rapport that we are going through, you know, all this whole offseason program and then into training camp, like I have no doubt in my mind that we'll be one of the top defenses. We have all the pieces that we need to be able to do it. And I can see it, you know, I can see it in terms of the communication, how hard we play, and really how connected we are as a group. So, Yeah, you know, we lost Aaron Donald, but no one th like every that was a qu that was the same question that you asked this year was the same question everybody had last year is what is this Rams defense going to do without Aaron Donald? And we showed you. Now everybody's saying, "Oh my gosh, this Ram defense is so good. What can they accomplish now?" No one's even saying like, "Are they going to be able to do it without Aaron Donald again?" Everybody kind of we kind of formed our identity without him. So I'm excited, man. It's going to be great. We put the world on notice. Now it's really time to go solidify ourselves as a top defense in the NFL.
And then on the flip side, we know Stafford is as good as they come in the NFL. I know you guys lost Cooper Kupp this offseason, but you end up getting Davante Adams, and then you have Puka Nacua, who's already a young star in this league, and Kyron Williams is a touchdown machine. It's just, it's a well-balanced machine that you guys got going right now in LA.
It's exciting, you know. 20, like 30 minutes ago, I was, you know, we were all out on the field together and just seeing how smooth the routes are. Now, Matthew Stafford, he's Hall of Fame, no doubt. You can stamp it right now. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. But to have a high-powered offense with, I would say, easily a top three wide receiver duo, a great running back, good O-line, and then a Hall of Fame quarterback, man, like you would hope, and I have no doubt, like 30 plus points a game, you know. It's exciting, but even as a defensive player for myself, it's exciting to go against them each and every day and have that challenge. You know, that same thing of like, what if, like, you're like, oh my gosh, like, I hope we put up 30 or it should be like a touchdown every single drive. It's exciting. Like, so not only as players are excited, I know the fans are excited, but as players too, you're like, oh my God, I can't wait till we get to Sundays to really see like, what is Coach McVay going to cook up, you know? Seeing these guys play in a real game. I've seen, obviously seen Puka, Kyron, they've done it all the time, but then Devontae too. Like I've gone against them and I'm like, oh my gosh. But then to have him on our team, like it's fantastic. So I'm excited. It is going to be one hell of a season. I have no doubt.
Yeah, and what is it like just the human side of it? Because you have these relationships formed and there was all these rumors this offseason about Matthew Stafford. Is he going to get traded? Is he going to get the contract done? Then you say goodbye to Cooper Kupp. Those two guys who are huge pieces in your locker room, obviously the deal got taken care of with Matthew Stafford, but to see Cooper Kupp go, how did you kind of react to both those storylines this offseason?
Yeah, I texted Cooper instantly. Like, he was a fantastic teammate, fantastic father, just a person in general. So when you lose a guy like that, you're like, dang, you know, what are we going to do now? You know, how are you going to replace him? How are you going to kind of work around, you know, such a not only a void on the field, but a presence in the locker room too. Obviously, you know, the Rams do a great job of finding great players. So we got Devontae, but initially I was, you know, I kind of was like, dang, you know, it's unfortunate. But also as a being in it for 3 years now, you understand the business side of it too. You know, certain moves just have to be made. And I wish him nothing but the best. I'm actually glad he stays in our division because I'll be able to talk some smack to him, you know, when we play the Seahawks 2 times a year. So it's going to be fun. You know, the battles will continue, at least on the field. And I know, you know, it's a place he's familiar with. It's a place that's close to home. So I'm wishing him nothing but the best. And then in terms of Matthew Stafford, I was like, oh my gosh, please. Like, we have to keep him. You have to, because it's like, then you got to go through the whole draft, or you got to find a quarterback. You might have to give up, you know, certain picks. And it just, the whole situation with that just seems like it was going to be complicated. It just seems like, you know, if we have our guy, you know, Matthew Stafford, he's our guy. Like, he is our guy. So for him to get that figured out, for him to be able to, you know, come back to the Rams, nothing but a blessing. I was excited. Great, great human being. So, you know, when you have the right people and in the building, the right culture in the building, I mean, you're lining yourself up for success.
Just out of curiosity, you come from a football family, obviously. You've now been in the NFL for a few years. We know what this defense is capable of. You know the area, obviously, going to UCLA and now being with the Rams. What's that next step for you individually? What do you want to show people this year after the good start to your career that you've had, Quinnen Lake?
You know, I've moved a lot. You know, I really want to solidify myself as, you know, a top defender in the NFL. And I feel like I can do that. I feel like, you know, with this defense, with this team, that it is definitely a possibility. At the end of the day, I think, you know, I want to put myself in a position to make plays, but also put myself in a position where it helps our team win. Because at the end of the day, it's about wins and losses, no matter what. So, I have individual goals that I want to get to, but at the end of the day, you got to win games and you got to be out there too. So I always think starting small, play every game, which I was, thank God I was able to do that last game. And really, the tape's going to show for itself. I'm getting more and more comfortable, been in the league, gaining more experience. So I have no doubt in my mind that it won't be a surprise if, if I do everything that I'm supposed to, that you'll be looking like, man, who, like, not even who is this kid, but man, this is a damn good football player. He's one of the top in the NFL.
Love that answer. Last thing I'll ask you, just getting back to your division. There's a lot of differentiating views and opinions on Brock Purdy. You have to go up against him. How do you view Brock Purdy as an NFL quarterback?
I'll say this, being a late round guy, I'm happy for him. Happy for all the success he's had, happy for the things that he's done. I mean, the accolades and success shows for itself. Has been to a Super Bowl, been to multiple NFC championships. But we'll see. They lost some key pieces. And it's always good battles going against the 49ers. So pay him as much as you want. Do what you got to do to keep him there. My mindset's not going to change. At the end of the day, we got to beat the 49ers. So it doesn't matter if it's Brock Purdy or anybody else. They're going to have to line it up too. I think, he's maximized what he's did at the 49ers. I think that's good for him.
Do you feel like they're still obviously you think you guys are the best team in the NFC West. Do you feel like the Niners are the second best team in that division?
It's hard to say. I think we're the best
mm-hmm.
in the division, but it really could be a toss up this year for that number two spot. Cardinals, I feel like they got some key pieces in the offseason. They just paid their tight end. They got Josh Sweat from the Eagles, so they got some good pieces. The Seahawks, they've always consistently had a good defense. So I'm kind of curious to see what their offense is going to do. And then you can never sleep on the 49ers. I mean, Kyle Shanahan has always got a good scheme. So as long as we're first, I don't really care. Like, you can 2, 3, 4, it doesn't matter. It could go Cardinals, Seahawks, 49ers, 49ers, Seahawks, Cardinals, Seahawks, 49ers. It doesn't matter. Whoever, best of luck for the number two spot, but it's going to be second place.
Well, really appreciate the conversation. Love your story from a 6th-round pick. Also, the football family background that you have and what you've been able to do in this league so far. Nothing but good health and good luck this upcoming season.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on, too.
There you go. Quinnen Lake, really enjoyed that conversation. Wonderful stuff with him, giving us some time here on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. I want to revisit a conversation from the other day. Tyreek Hill gave his top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL. Who are my top 5 quarterbacks? And I think there's a big conversation on who's the 5th best quarterback in the NFL, because I think the first 4 are fairly obvious. We'll take a break, though. We'll come on back after this. Update time. Here's Zach. All righty, final segment of the day. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'll tell you, whenever we talk to someone on the Rams, I always enjoy the conversation. Jared Verse, great interview. Braden Fisk, great interview. Quinnen Lake, great interview as well. For some reason, I don't know why. Anytime we get a Rams guest on, they end up being a very good conversation. So I appreciate him jumping on board with us a few moments ago. If you missed it, obviously, you could use the rewind function on the free Odyssey app for the next 24 hours. You could also find the podcast version of it wherever you may choose to elect to listen to your podcast. Just search the Zach Gelb Show. And you could also find it on my Twitter and Instagram on our feeds, at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. The other day, we played you this audio, and it was Tyreek Hill listing his top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL. And Tyreek Hill said Baker Mayfield was a top 5 quarterback, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and then, Joe Scheisty, Joe Burrow. So those are the top 5 quarterbacks that Tyreek Hill did give. Now, if he didn't say Tua Tagovailoa a year ago, I wouldn't be sitting here now saying, oh, that's a big deal. But he did say that in July that Tua was a top 5 quarterback. And now heading into this season, by giving his 5 quarterbacks and his quarterback Tua Tagovailoa not being on there, he's saying that Tua is not a top 5 quarterback, which I think anyone with a brain wouldn't argue it. But with how outspoken and how vocal Tyreek Hill has been supporting Tua, and now he's not, it makes me say Tyreek Hill's getting tired of Miami. And if you couldn't already put that together, just listen to him at the end of the season. And I do think there's some accountability that has to be placed on Tyreek Hill. But let's be real. If you're holding your breath waiting for Tyreek Hill to take accountability, you'd already be dead by now. So that's something to monitor. But let's advance this conversation forward. Stu, just give me a yes or no. Or actually, not even a yes or no. Who are the first four best quarterbacks in the NFL? If you say you're top four quarterbacks in the NFL, not five, four, in order, who are they?
That would be Mahomes, mm-hmm. Josh Allen, mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow.
Okay, I agree with you. Right?
Yeah, easy.
Everyone would say, in some order, those four quarterbacks, whether you want to move Lamar and Allen and Burrow around, sure, it starts with Mahomes one. For me, it goes Josh Allen two. I then put Lamar Jackson three and Joe Burrow four. The fifth best quarterback in the NFL, I would say it's Jalen Hurts. Would you, Stu?
I would also say it's Jalen Hurts.
Okay. So I'm curious, though, who else fits in to the top five conversation? Like, we're both in agreement it's Jalen Hurts. That's our list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No debate from either one of us. I'll give you a name. Do you consider these quarterbacks in the top five conversation? Do you consider Jaden Daniels in the top five conversation?
Yes, even after 1 year, I do.
Do you consider C.J. Stroud in the top five conversation?
I do.
Okay. Do you consider Justin Herbert in the top five conversation?
I do not.
I would agree. Jared Goff?
I do not.
I would agree. Jordan Love?
No.
I would agree. Matthew Stafford?
He's interesting. I don't think anymore. I would not top five, no.
Okay, I would. Brock Purdy?
No.
I think that's right where you draw the line in the sand. Am I missing anyone? Is anyone's a glaring omission there? I have one for you. Derek Carr.
Yes, nailed it.
Oh, geez. But that's the way that I look at the quarterbacks right now. Is when you're looking at the rankings of the quarterbacks in the NFL, Mahomes is one, Allen is two, Lamar is three, Joe Burrow is four, Jalen Hurts is five. So you would then have what? Who would be your six and seven? Because you considered, what, Daniels and Stroud, really?
I would go Daniels and then Stroud. Stroud seven.
Okay.
And then Stafford eight.
All right. My top 10 would be this. Mahomes one, Allen two, Lamar three, Burrow or Joe Scheisty in at four, the Super Bowl MVP, Jalen Hurts, five. Daniels, six. I think Daniels jumped Stroud. Even though Stroud was fine this year, he just didn't take that next step. I know there's a lot of blame with the injuries and the offensive line, but I would say Jaden Daniels, six. I would even go Matthew Stafford, seven, before I would go Stroud. Stroud would be eight, and Baker would be nine. So I would have Baker Mayfield as nine. The question then is who's the 10th best quarterback? So Tua's under consideration. Dak is under consideration. Jordan Love under consideration. Justin Herbert under consideration. Love under consideration. I think I said Goff already. Brock Purdy, I guess, under consideration. I guess I would go Herbert still.
I agree.
I think the ceiling is still the most. And honestly, I may think in a month, I'm sure we'll do this again before the start of the NFL season, I may contemplate putting Herbert in front of Mayfield. But if you ask me today, Zach Gelb, who are your top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL? Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Scheisty, as in Joe Burrow, Hurts, Daniels, Stafford, Stroud, Baker Mayfield, and Justin Herbert. Is there one you disagree with on that list, Stu, in terms of top 10?
I would just flip Stroud and Stafford, personally.
Okay.
But
you think Baker and Herbert are both top 10 quarterbacks?
I think Baker's
NFL.
Definitely nine. I think 10 is very up for discussion. I think you could put in I think you could put in Love. I think you could put in Goff in that 10th spot.
Yeah.
But I think Herbert's, I think Herbert, would, like you said, with the ceiling, he makes the most sense there.
So you said Goff, Herbert, and Love. If you ask me, yeah, I would say if you ask me, which one would you rather have? Same destination.
Yeah.
Like, let's say, all right, you're picking the Lions. If I'm the Lions, I'd rather have Herbert over Goff. If you could give me Love on the Lions, I'd rather have Herbert over Love. So that's why I end up putting Herbert there. And, you know, Dak gets injured a bunch. Tua gets injured a bunch. Big reason why I don't end up putting those guys in the top 10. Be curious, though, who's the guy that breaks out this year, whether it's guys in the draft or, you know, is it Caleb Williams? You know, does Bryce Young, who got his career back, does he jump into a top 10 category? And then in that Daniels draft class, right, we talk about Caleb, Drake May, you got Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, who had a very good season. So it's going to be fun to watch, and who knows? Maybe with the last 2 years where you see these rookie quarterbacks, Stroud and then Daniels, are we able to see a crazy rookie impact effect this year where probably just start with Cam Ward? And Brock Purdy would have been on this list this time last year, and he's fallen off. So can Brock kind of regain that throne? All right, that will do it for the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network on a Thursday. Big thanks to the Big O, Glenn Ordway, for joining us. Quinn and Lake as well. Big thanks to Samter. Big thanks to Stu. Big thanks to Ack. And a big thanks to each and every one of you listening to us however you do consume the extravaganza, whether it is via the radio, on Sirius, streaming on the app, or watching us on YouTube. Talk tomorrow, everybody, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.